Welcome to another...
The official podcast of The Leaky Cauldron.
The Leaky Cauldron.
The Leaky Cauldron.
Do you hear that, Ern? The Leaky Cauldron.
Just go! You're wasting time!
Welcome to Pottercast, your number one source for news, theories, discussion and interviews with people from the Potter books and films. I know a small amount myself, having written the books. My name is J.K. Rowling. I am now happy to introduce your hosts, Melissa, John, Sue.
Okay, hold on everybody. It's episode number 147 of Pottercast, here with your happy friendly Pottercast quartet.
Woo-hoo!
I'm Melissa. I'm here with John and Sue and Zifak.
And you really are with...
A.K.A. My what?
You really are with John, aren't you? This week, he was...
Yeah, he's in the other room.
Here I am.
John,
I just travel around the country.
He operated from Southern California to New York.
Now he has to go to Michigan.
Real quick.
I am going to Michigan in 3 weeks.
Just to clear up some comments, my last name is Franco. So, anybody out there on the comments,
people
don't think I have a last name. I'm not stuck in the 80s. I have a full name. My name's Frankie Franco III.
Just like Madonna or Chiquizzi.
But I go by Frack and I like it, so it's okay.
You know it's a bad word in some sort of...
Yeah, I know, but I was signing my artwork that way but way before that show came back, so...
Was that show Battlestar?
Yeah, Battlestar Galactica came back before 99. So it's my freshman
year of
college.
Don't say anything about Battlestar Galactica. I've heard it's one of the most obsessive...
Oh, I'm looking forward to watching it because I have good friends who really like it, and they said that I would love the writing. So I'm going to borrow the DVDs from my friends. So I'm just waiting. And I guess the new season started on Friday, or the last season of four. So I guess that's a big deal. So all you Battlestar Galactica fans, yeah.
Okay, don't say anything in the comments. Okay, Pottercast 147. Before we do anything else, we have to hear from our friends over at audiblekids.com.
This podcast is brought to you by audiblekids.com, the internet's leading source for children's audiobooks. Get a free audiobook download of your choice when you sign up today. Log on to audiblekids.com/pottercast for more details.
Great show this week. We have John, have an update for everybody on the actor troupe?
We have an update. We're not playing any auditions yet because, good Lord, there's over 100 of them.
Wow.
Yeah.
And we may have to have like a little mini special cast to do the first round at any rate.
Can it be like Pottercast Idol?
That's why I wanted to try to be. That's why I don't want to just toss them out here. Everybody's like, well, what's taking so long? But it's like, come on, this is entertainment in itself, these auditions.
I want to do Pottercast Idol
have
a regular on Canon.
I'll be the Ryan Seacrest.
I want to have somebody...
Again.
Come into Canon Conundrums, and we'll do like two every week, and you guys can pick.
Yeah, totally. That'd be fun.
Awesome. This will be fun. Can I be Paula? I don't want to be Simon.
Sue, somehow I thought you would be
okay.
Paula.
Susie's a Paula.
Because I don't say the word dog, right? Like, what's his name?
Yeah,
Randy
dog.
Does.
Yeah, dog.
Yeah, isn't that dog?
John Simon. Does that make me Randy?
No, you'd be. Melissa, I think you would be Simon.
Thanks a lot, Crack.
Not in a bad way. He's very intelligent.
You think
I'll be
Randy?
Simon then. I'll be honest. I'll be mean.
Okay.
I just don't be like this. It's dreadful.
No.
It was dreadful. What were you thinking?
Your outfit, really.
Your outfit. And your hair.
What is that voice, Crack?
It's my robot voice. It's very effective.
Do it again.
Say proceed to the highlighted route.
Proceed to the highlighted route.
Oh, God.
Prepare to make a right-hand turn in 54 feet.
It's very scary.
We did that all week last week.
Oh, my God. It's like Tor all over again.
Oh.
With a little voice.
That little voice.
Okay,
so
anyway.
Annoying.
Also on the show, Phoenix Files, I think... Bit by Bit.
Scribby 5.
And Scribby 5 and all the good stuff.
Canon Conundrums.
Yes. And stick around for the part where we declare ourselves kings of the world.
I heard that about us.
I heard that's going to be great.
We are what we are.
Heard that.
You know what? I'm not ashamed. Don't hate.
We will conquer the world because we are the kings of the world.
You sound just like Inga Dinga Doo, little We Are the Kings of the World, little Muppet guy or something.
Now before we get accused of doing an inside joke, people have been saying on the comments, somebody said that we acted like we're kings of the world, and they're clearly right. I mean,
clearly.
Don't they know?
It's about time they caught on, to be frank. We're about to make it a secret podcast. You have to have the right password to download.
No.
John's walking around here with a crown on. I don't know what's happening there.
I mean, I got it from Joe, so.
That's right. That's right.
And a scepter.
Yes.
All right, before this show gets even further off the rails, can we hear from our Sues what's happening in the news?
I'm going to talk about Dan Radcliffe. Hey!
Boo, I don't want to talk
about
him.
Everybody say yay right now. Yay! There's another comments thing for those who don't read the comments.
I mean, honestly, I love Dan Radcliffe.
Apparently, whatever Sue says, Dan Radcliffe, there's a silence.
I don't even know where that came from.
I'm sorry, Ms. L was very nice, and the person named L, I'm not making fun of you, but it's so wrong that we're all sitting here silent because we don't want to say how much we don't like Dan.
I honestly personally go silent because I have a little crush on Dan, so I get embarrassed to talk about him. It makes me shy and uncomfortable.
That's
my issue, I guess, not anyone else.
All right.
Let's so off base. They have been nothing but kind to us. We love that kitty.
He's so cool. He is great young man and very talented, and we will all get to see that starting on September 5th when Equus does open on Broadway. It's now confirmed.
Ooh.
I mean, fabulous. And the play, it begins previews actually on September 5th when it formally opens on September 25th, which is...
How long is it running?
I thought it was...
It's running 22 weeks until February 8th of 2009. Sorry.
Wow.
I wonder how much that billboard cost that they bought down in Times Square for that big picture of him. That thing is huge. It's like 50 feet tall. A picture of him with the horse?
Is there one up yet? I bet there will be. I think you're joking.
Yes.
Are you serious?
It probably costs $10 million or something a week.
I can't tell if you're joking.
I can't either. Because there was a big billboard in London when it opened in London, but I don't know.
No.
I'm ignoring John. Okay, moving on. Tickets will go on sale early for people who have American Express cards on April 12th, but they will open to the general public, listen up, on April 26th, and you can order through telecharge.com. And let me tell you, folks, if you're thinking about this, you might want to consider saving some money because tickets will not be cheap.
How much are they?
Okay, just the regular orchestra seats are $116, but get this, the premium seat prices are $251.50.
What?
Yes, no, get this,
whoa.
And on Saturday night, $301.
For what?
Yes, I'm not kidding. I am not kidding you.
What?
That's
that for 40 pounds in England.
Yeah. But the orchestra streets,
that's insane.
I mean, even on the Wednesdays are traditionally the matinees, and the prices on the orchestra street seats will be $111, and then the very back, like the mezzanine, like the back rows from J through L, will be $61.
About $100 is market Broadway rate for a really good orchestra seat. $100 to $120 for a good orchestra seat. $250 is highway robbery.
Right. And then on Saturday night it's $301.50. I mean, are you kidding me?
I get the star quality, but one of the great things about Broadway is that it's almost the same price for anywhere you go. It's not that you pay more for the stars. There's been much bigger. No offense to Daniel Radcliffe. I know we're gonna get slammed, but there have been legendary stars who are award winners for 60 years who are perhaps bigger stars,
maybe not
marketable stars, but bigger stars who
were
have,
they out there showing their bits off?
John. You know,
it is what it is.
No, but that's a crude way of looking at it. And if that has anything to do with the production, I would really doubt it. They're not saying that's what you're paying for. They're saying you're paying to see Daniel Radcliffe.
Right, right. And
well, that's
you know, I don't want to begrudge a talented actor because Richard Griffiths is also reprising his role. But at the same time, like Melissa said, there's been some extraordinarily, like people like Ian McKellen, extraordinary people. I mean, just legends on the stage who will give you the most extraordinary performances. And that,
Ian McKellen, Helen Mirren, Judy Dench, Cherry Jones. I mean, these are just, off the top of my head, people I've seen on Broadway for like a $20 ticket.
Well, let's not forget Clay Aiken and Spamalot. And Joey Fatone and Rent.
You know, he was great on Dancing with the Stars or whatever that one show was. He was good with the chick from Days of Our Lives.
That's just a shame. Maybe, you know what? Maybe there's another way of looking at this. Maybe it's the way to keep the riffraff out of the main seat.
You know, maybe so.
The riffraff.
You know, but that's a lot of money. Like, say, you know, I mean, hardcore fans, you want to get the best possible seat possible. I don't know, but that just, that on a Saturday night, you think, oh, I'm going to go on a date. I'm going to treat my girl nice or my guy nice and go out. And, you know, I mean, for a couple to go out and it could be $600, $700 to go to the theater. That just...
Yeah.
I mean, if I were out in the market for first dates, that'd be up high on my list. I gotta say. Well, I would be... I don't know. I mean, it might backfire on me.
Let's hope it doesn't go that far on a first date.
Just true.
Boys.
I'm just...
Aww.
I mean, how could you compete with that? I mean...
He has magic.
Yeah. I'm done.
You know, but I don't know. So that's the news. So, but if you do want to get tickets though, and you are willing to whatever, because there are they do go on sale to the general public on the 26th, and I'm sure they'll be slammed. So it's only 22 weeks, and there was a lot of talk, and Melissa, I wanted to get your opinion about this. He is doing publicity traditionally during, you know, going to the premieres during the week, like when Hapla Prince opens, right? Or would they normally get, like, for something like this, would they get, like, a stand-in or, I don't know, is that what they're called?
Yeah, he'll have an understudy.
Understudy,
go
that's
on.
The word. Thank you. I couldn't remember what that was.
Yeah. yeah, definitely. Hopefully who's prepared for the role.
When does Hapla Prince open?
Hmm?
When does Hapla Prince open?
November 16th?
Well, it's the 21st, but they'll probably, like, you know, do the premiere.
21st.
They always do the premiere.
November 16th, wasn't that the first ever? Wasn't that Sorcerer's Stone? It's just stuck
in
my head.
It's all right around Thanksgiving, you know?
No, I think it was the 16th. I think, if I'm remembering correctly, Sorcerer's Stone up on the 16th. Maybe it was Chamber of... Anyway, they've all been in November, second, third week in November.
And that's when it's released or the premiere?
That's when it's released, but the week before will be the premieres.
You think a week or two weeks before, maybe? I don't know.
Mm-hmm. So I guess they're doing an L.A. and a London premiere again.
Yay, L.A.!
Yeah.
I'm excited.
Awesome.
I just want to see the part. Right. Speaking of Hapla Prince, we have a, there was two, this is kind of interesting, but two more character actors were cast for the part. One was the vampire, who's, you know,
Edward Cullen?
He was. No, that Sanguini or whatever his name is, that was at Slughorn's party. You know, it was so funny when Snape had that whole thing.
Oh, right,
And then the other person that was cast was Regulus Black.
What? Yeah, and there was an interview with him on Rock Hogwarts.
Regulus Black?
Yes.
Well, I guess for pictures and whatnot.
Well, he's going to be... and
the last book?
Well, here we go. Beep, beep. Spoiler warning. Stop now. He is going to appear as a portrait in Slughorn's office.
Interesting.
In a photograph, he's in a photograph. It's not a portrait, but a photograph in Slughorn's office. Yeah.
Hmm. That's very interesting.
Isn't it, though?
Yeah.
Borderline obscure, but very interesting.
Well, I don't know how they're going to explain that, like...
Are they friends?
Well, but, okay, Slughorn was a... Was he head of house then when he was the potion master?
Well, Slughorn would appeal. Slughorn wasn't head of house then. He was, I don't think. He was
just the potions master, right?
Was he head of Slytherin house?
Wait, did you say Slughorn or Scrimgeour's office?
Slughorn.
Slughorn's office.
I thought you said Scrimgeour for some reason.
Oh, you're confusing me now.
That would be ridiculous.
No, it's Slughorn's office. But, so I don't know. I was trying to think how they would do that, like trying to set it up that he had gone to the cave. So maybe this is some sort of his memory. I just don't know how they're going to work that in there. You know?
Well, when Creature tells his story, it'd be cool to see, like, a flashback of it.
Yeah.
But that would be kind of anticlimactic to show the cave before we actually get to the cave with Harry and Dumbledore.
Yeah.
No, that wouldn't work. Yeah. That'd be a poor choice.
Yeah.
But will they ever use him again? Will they use him in number 7?
I don't know. He said he hasn't been asked back yet, but he would love to. I mean, that would make sense. I mean,
I guess if they do a memory of the cave.
I just want to know if they got Robert Pattinson back for anything this time around, too.
No, he's off doing a vampire thing.
Yeah.
Oh, nuts.
What else is going on?
If you wanted to read Tales of the Beetle the Bard, you may actually could do this. Amazon.
What?
Yes,
ooh,
it's true.
Huh?
Amazon.com has opened up a new contest where people can win a chance to go to fly to London, and you contest for two people to win to go and read the tales of the Beatles Bard for a weekend.
What's the contest?
You have to write in 100 words or less, and you have to answer a question, one of three questions.
Do they accept drawings of fuzzy dogs?
I don't know.
That would be brilliant.
I need to know.
You know, it's really interesting because this contest is open for people ages 13 and older. And if you've ever read Leaky, yes, finally, we all complain about this. And it was really interesting now that tonight I just saw that news round is the kids over there are complaining that the young kids are excluded.
Oh,
I mean,
you know, I love the young kids. I'm all for the young kids. We've said on here before for people not to be angry about contests because it was for the young kids. But let the adults have something,
you know.
So please.
I know, but I mean, it's so funny because like it includes a security guard. You get to go in there and they'll be secure. You know, they're gonna have a little security guard with you, but you actually get to sit and read the book.
Yeah, my question is how are they trusting some random person who won a contest to handle that book? Do you tell the security guard when you'd like to turn a page?
Probably.
Apparently so.
There's gonna be security guard and some curator right there with tweezers and gloves. So it's gonna be like,
yeah. That could be a disaster. What if you like sneezed or something?
John.
I drooled on it. My drool was on it.
What if
book.
I accidentally put it in my satchel and walked out?
Yeah.
Accidentally.
I'm just kidding.
You'd be
killed.
Who was
that
politician that went into like the National Archives and stuffed papers down his socks or something?
That was a movie, National Treasure.
Remember that? No, no.
What's his name?
Some Clinton guy. Surely somebody will comment or email. Can't remember now.
Anyway,
I don't think you'd be able to get away with anything like that.
You lost me on the sock thing, John. I don't know.
All right.
Like socks.
National Treasure was cool.
I like Nicolas Cage, but he looks like he looked kind of funky in this last one. I don't know.
I haven't seen the most recent one.
Well, my little boy liked them. They're good for kids.
I love National Treasure. Mm-hmm. I loved it.
Those
loved
ones are fun.
It.
I like both
loved
of them.
It. I haven't seen the second one yet.
Oh, it's worth watching. It's a lot of fun.
Yeah, they are.
I used to want to be that kind of person when I was little, like a discoverer, like going into like old places like that and like finding treasures and
you'd be like Indiana Jones, Dallas Jones, The Adventures of Dallas Jones.
Yeah.
A paleontologist who works out.
A paleontologist. Like yeah, it's a very hot profession. That'll be a lot of fun. Oh well. What are we doing?
Okay, I'm moving on to one more thing.
yeah, come on.
Joe has donated a book donation to a book that's gonna be put out in the honor of Prince Charles's 60th birthday, and I think this is kind of neat. This is important. She's contributing is actually going to be an extract of Harry Potter and the Deathly Hallows, and it's going to have two new illustrations by an artist named Quentin Blake, who's pretty famous. So you kind of
who?
Yeah. And so that's kind of cool. And I was kind of shocked. I really didn't believe that because why would she ever? I've never seen her books reprinted, especially with another like this is a Random House publication and. And I was like, whoa, but yeah, she's really doing it because it's all going for charity. So I think that's cool.
She's got a lot of charitable activity this week. I thought I read somewhere that she had put a dress up on eBay for charity. This beautiful purple dress.
Uh-huh. You know.
Up for charity.
That's not on eBay. She's not putting anything on eBay.
No, she put the purple dress on eBay. For some reason, she didn't want it anymore, and I have no idea why. But this beautiful dress.
John, you are not going to get us to talk about
this. Yes, he is. This is his shameless, sad, little pathetic attempt to talk.
We're not doing it. We're moving on. What else is happening?
And there's just one more thing I want to say to people. It's not deeply informative, but Julie Walters gave a fantastic new interview. It's on screenonline.com, and it's an interactive interview, and it's really a fun interview. This actress, she plays Molly Weasley in the movies, and she does talk about her time on the set and how delightful it was and how the machine they had created to do the plate, you know, the plate is washing, you know, magically in the sink, and she mentions how they created it, so it's actually doing that when they're filming it by itself. You can't see, like, a little hand or anything. It's done, but it's the interview, if you get a chance to watch it, it's really quite fun. She's very She's a very thoughtful person, but she's very, very funny. She talks about her life in the theater and getting her award from her OBE, and just she's marvelous. And if you get a chance to watch it, I encourage people to do that. I don't like to do that too much, but I just think she's fabulous. And go watch it. She's great.
She was washing a dish?
Cool. Well, you know, in the borough. No, no. You know how in the Chamber of Secrets she was talking about how delightful that set is. And she wants to film more, which we're all for more Molly Weasley. So, because I can't wait for movie 7. Believe it. I can't wait.
She was washing a dish, and then she came outside.
Yeah.
You know, John.
I heard a noise.
All right.
Let's
move on.
Please. Yay. I'm bored. For the next part.
What is that next part, John?
The next part is going to be bit by
what? Bit by bit. Bit by bit.
There it is.
Right, let's go do it.
Please continue on to the next segment, bit by bit. And we're back with Bit by Bit, and we are starting on Chapter 11, The Bribe.
Frack, I dare you to do this whole segment in the computer voice.
You want? I'll do it, but I don't want it to be taxing to our listeners. Do you think it's
for
okay?
For 5 minutes, all time on my recording.
Okay, you just tell me when to stop talking that way, and
I will. 5 minutes, because I think this will be really funny.
I think a funny joke would be to, if we were ever, like, you know, that obnoxious, to tape the whole show, transcribe it, and then record the computer speaking the transcription, and then release that as the show.
That would be terrible.
That would be the worst.
Okay, 5 minutes. 5 minutes, and then we'll do it for Frankie.
Okay.
All right, so what's going on in this bit by bit, people?
I want to hear Frankie tell us.
After several days and no creature, off trying to locate Dong, they are a bit tense. When the voice of Moody booms out, Severus Snape, someone's entered from our place. Who is it? It was Lupin.
This is going to be a hard 5 minutes. It's Lupin.
It was Lupin. I was shocked to my utter core, did not understand what was going on. Lupin breaking in, was it him? Was he under an imperious charm? Was it someone polyjuiced? I did not know. So, I kept reading on to the next part. I was very pleased to see that it was actually Lupin. They discussed this by knowing what creature was in his room when Harry was in his class. It was a Grindelwald in a water tank across the room in his office.
Okay, I can't take it anymore. I can't. There was only 1 minute, but I can't. I won't be able to get through this segment if you do that.
Oh my gosh.
Oh, my computer. Pellegrino. I run on Pellegrino.
Disturbing.
I couldn't even do it. Okay, anyway. Lupin comes in.
Him up.
Yes, Lupin comes in.
Yeah. He punches Harry.
Oh, they discuss the trace. That's when, because they were asking him about why the Death Eaters were able to find them, and that's when they thought that the trace was possibly still on Harry.
Right.
And he was saying that it's impossible.
Right. Yeah. You know, I mean, we had talked so much about that trace, and, you know, and I still at that point didn't know what was the deal with that. So it was kind of nice. I liked how Joe had worked it in. It was the voice of the old.
Yeah, it was a nice reason for some exposition on that, because we didn't need clarification. And it wasn't, like, forced, like, some random, like, she could normally get away with Hermione knowing because she reads the books. It was something we actually needed a more, quote-unquote, founded reason or source. So that was nice.
Right. You know, it's kind of cool too. And then they go on and then Lupin and swallowing them in, you know, like the first thing I would want to ask him about would be about my family, you know, instead of about the trace.
But Lupin, I mean,
but we do find out about what happened after that.
Is Lupin all Mr. Adventure yet?
Isn't this the
part? This is where they have a fight, huh?
Yeah, this is the part where he has a fight, yeah. This was a little weird.
Well,
I guess we're jumping ahead of ourselves because they talk about Scrimgeour, because he's dead. That's confirmed. And the trio, they...
Right. But Scrimgeour, can we talk about Scrimgeour for a second? Because it was this weird, strange moment I was touched. Because Scrimgeour died, probably tortured, without giving Harry up. which is pretty.
Well, it just shows that he was, like, sure, he was annoying in the fact that he, like, he was doing the opposite of what's his face wanted to, like, what Fedge was ignoring it, and Scrimgeour wanted to give him false hope. But you could see that he did have, like, he thought he was doing the right thing. And so it wasn't he was just out to better himself. He wanted to give the public a piece that, you know, they're handling this. And so when they got a hold of him, he wasn't about to give them up Harry Potter. Like, he knew that Harry Potter was a valuable source of information. And like, it wasn't like, oh, if he gives them Harry Potter, they'll leave us alone. He knew. And it was nice to see the other side of his character, I guess. It just validated him. I agree with you.
You know, I don't know about you, but like you were saying, it was kind of a touching moment. And imagine how Harry must have felt, too. You know, Harry had this feeling inside him. I don't know. I don't know how I would react, you know, because here's this person. Because I really did not like Scrimgeour at all, you know. And to understand that he was actually doing something rather heroic and doing the right thing was kind of a jolt, you know. And I just... to try and deal with that emotion. I mean, obviously the book is very minor to the whole thing, but I just thought, I wondered how Harry really must have felt. I don't know how I would have felt with that. I would have been like, whoa,
yeah.
Here are all these people that I really didn't think too much of that are actually dying to help protect me. That's just that would be very sombering, you know.
So Pius Thickness is the new Minister for Magic. What a great name.
But then,
for somebody who's just a bit daft.
Isn't it though?
Or, you know, sickness. It's just, man, I love it.
I know. You know, just Jo's choice of language and her choice of words, you know, is, we've all talked about that for long, but, you know,
if you get
like
to be that high in the ministry and you fall prey to an imperious curse, I would think that when you get that high in the ministry, you have learned how to not get imperious. And, granted, they're Death Eaters, but it was that big, like, blundering Death Eater. It wasn't one of those cunning, real cunning ones.
Yeah, I think so, too. And a name like Pius, I don't know. It's just kind of ironic use.
Well, it's sort of, to me, maybe I'm crazy, but it calls to mind, terrible, the Pope who didn't say anything about the Holocaust, or the many people who claimed that they were just following orders or under their belief system with the Nazis, and, you know?
Right.
And it's like saying, like, he just sticks to what he's been being told to do.
Right. You know, that's a really, you bring up a really good point.
Because
I want to talk about what happens a little bit later on in this chapter about the Nazis, because that's just, I guess we could just talk about it now, but we're going along and, I mean, there's all kinds of sweeping changes. I mean, Voldemort is not Minister of Magic, as you said, but he's making these rules that are very much, I thought, echoed the Nazi regime. I was shocked by it all. So we've learned that Hermione's going on and she's reading the newspaper and that they've instituted these terrible things that just echoed the Nazi regime, I mean, policies. And I think I felt that the characters described as feeling sickened when they read this. And I felt the same way, too. I was like, you know, the muggle and the blood status for the students had to be, you know, to check their blood status to go to school.
I mean,
I don't know about you guys, but to me, I was shocked that it was just that blatant, that implementation of these policies.
It's just such a huge, huge, you know, turnaround for that kind of policy. It's like, it's just amazing what they were able to get away with. You got a whole country, or at least, you know, Wizarding World. How could they not see that and not have any kind of strong reaction?
Well, I think that just shows how much control they had, because they didn't have the pulling punches anymore. It's like they wove themselves in so effectively, and they struck whatever at the right moment. So now that they're just kind of like, you know, they played their hand and it was effective. And so now it's kind of like they can be so bald faced. About it, because they know that they can, and that's what's probably very scary, that no one can fight it.
No, I mean, I just remember, you know, history lessons, and I took German when I was in high school, and we had gone to Dachau and stuff, and if you go through the Holocaust Museum, we have a fabulous one in the United States, and it's very powerful, and you remember how they were forced to, you know, they had to go register, and then they had to wear the stars, and it was just horrible. It is. It's just, it's mind-boggling. And then you see it kind of like, you know, here's Voldemort doing the same thing. I mean, if you didn't suspect...
Yeah, I'd be afraid to see what would happen if there was a book 8, like, how it would escalate. Because, like, this is his first year in full power. Yeah. He's just getting his ducks in a row. Imagine once they're in a row, like, oh my gosh.
Well, we start seeing the mass massacring on the scale proportionally in the Wizarding World to the Hogwarts. But... I don't even know. I mean, everybody says Nazis, and I totally agree. The most prevalent example we have in our social consciousness is Nazis. But it also is just indicative of what somebody who's trying to control a world that doesn't act by his views. You know, he's trying to line it up and control it, know where everybody is, know where anybody who would oppose him is, how to find them. That's like you brand them, you track them, you know, that's it's just how he's trying to stick his fingers in there and totally control the community. So I don't know that it's always Nazis, but or that it's that somebody who is trying to control a community to such an ingrained level that that's how it manifests itself. You need people to say exactly who they are and their affiliations as long as they, as those affiliations affect how they might rebel against you. You know?
Yeah, you're right. And it's such, you know, I mean, his prejudice is just out of control. And it's just, he's just, his fear, you know, Voldemort acts out of fear because he's a bully. And he's an egomaniac and he's just all kinds of whatever you want to say. And he just, this is just another example of it. It's just amazing, though, that there was not that big a resistance at this point. I don't know. You just kind of stop and think about that. But then I like what Ron said. He would tell Hermione, tell him that, you know, he's part of her family, you know, if that had been the case or something, you know, about them. I thought that was kind of romantic, little Chester.
All right, what else are we chewing on this week?
Let's see. Well, then we're getting to, you brought up Lupin before, so as they're going along, and then Lupin asks them, he says, well, what's this, I hear that you're on this mission,
and the
right?
entire fandom goes, huh?
Doesn't he want to go off and...
Yeah, that was, it was a little...
Yeah.
So unlike him, which I guess was her point.
Yeah, it was her point. And then, like, you can see in hindsight, like, what he was freaking out about, because he kind of... If you think about it, Lupin has led such an isolated life, so isolated and alone. The only time he probably really had, like, intimate relationships with friends and other people were probably when he was at Hogwarts with the Marauders. You know what I mean? Other than that, he's shunned so much. He can barely get work. He usually, like, scuttles off by himself. You know, he goes to places with other people, but he always retreats by himself. Now he has a home.
Mm-hmm.
It's probably so jarring for him to realize that, okay, I have a wife now who I'm responsible for, who loves me, who I love back, and then all now she's pregnant. Like, and I'm putting my, because he probably doesn't like himself enough as it is, you know, with his whole, like, his condition, we'll say. And so, and inflicting that on people that he loves and, like, an unborn child, he flipped out. And you would hope that fear would manifest itself in a healthy response and to be like, you know what, I just really need to buckle down and help out. But he kind of went for an escapism, which was good that Harry was able to, like, slap him and get him back into,
yeah.
I don't know.
Well, I mean, sucks for him. Dumbledore was all he had left. Dumbledore and Harry were all he had left. All the Marauders are gone. One of them is evil, you know? And
that's true.
The only person tying him to sanity, it was why he thought that Snape was still a good guy in book 6, because Dumbledore said so. Dumbledore's gone, so now there's nobody to really remind him what his responsibilities are, and it just was such, I thought it was kind of awesome of Harry to be the man in the situation, even though he did it in a really rude and terrible way. He was more the adult. You know?
Yeah.
Yeah.
And also the child, because it was childish.
Yeah, but honestly, like, how it...
Yeah.
Well, yeah, it was very childish. But I think it was effective, because I think it being so blunt is what kind of made... It kind of shocked him out of... It kind of made Lupin, or shocked him out of his apathy. Because I don't even think... I honestly believe that Lupin... was kind of naive to it. You know, like, he thought that maybe he was doing the right way. Even though when he started monologuing, like, what did I do to my, you know, I think that was probably one of the first reasons when he actually kind of, I don't know. It was a nice thought.
It's just so shocking that I just really enjoyed this. I mean, even though it was, you know, disappointing to see, you know, something like this happen with Lupin, it was so interesting such an interesting way to develop Lupin's character like this. And I mean, just knowing from where he started out to be, like, you know, such an important influence to Harry, like the guy who was so instrumental in teaching him defense against the dark arts early on. It's just it's an important thing, I think, to experience when you're about Harry's age and stuff, that other adults and stuff, you know, are human too, and that
Well, no, it's kind of a change for me, though, to see him, you know, you just kind of, I always thought of Lupin as kind of being kind of heroic, too, you know, before I just thought, you know, I mean, here was this teacher that I thought he was a great, fabulous teacher. I loved him, you know, and then he's back and you see more of him and you kind of see the side to him that's not maybe so heroic or just a little, you know, and yet.
I think John hit the...
Go ahead.
Oh, sorry. No, I'm sorry. I didn't interrupt. Keep going.
No, it was just a change. I liked it, and I was kind of agreeing with what John was just saying there. So it was a nice way to develop his character a little more, and you saw a little side to him, and you understood the anguish that he had been through and stuff, and it made him very real, too. I mean, he was having very real feelings of fear and just, I mean, let's face it, it's easy to run away, you know? And
yeah, I really agree with the fact, like, you know, it was nice to see that he's human, and that's part of growing up, when you realize your teachers and your these adults you look up to, and you have to come to that realization. Like,
exactly.
They're human, and they're not perfect, and they're going to make mistakes, and sometimes you're going to notice it, sometimes they're not going to, you know, it's just part of growing up, and because he was probably one of the most, I won't say undeveloped, because that's not right, but like you said, he did develop his character.
Yeah.
I guess he was one of the most unblemished characters, because you didn't see either side of him. Like, James, you learned, like, he was a jerk when he was younger. You know, he's kind of arrogant, but he was an upstanding guy when he got older, type of thing. He just calmed down.
All right, well, in the next part of this chapter, next week, we'll talk about when Creature shows up with the dong.
Uh-oh.
Yes. Yeah.
Creature.
Sounds half a dumb.
Creature will come down.
Yeah, and we also get a very interesting part from that Daily Prophet paper. I like the use of her little Rita Skeeter things. I missed that part during Order of the Phoenix.
All right, peeps.
I like it.
Okay.
Yeah.
Bye.
Today's podcast is brought to you by AudibleKids.com, the Internet's best source for audio children's books. Audible has over 35,000 titles to choose from to be downloaded and played back anywhere, just like Pottercast. And now you can find children's books there as well. Log on to audiblekids.com/Pottercast to get a free audiobook download of your choice when you sign up today. Again, go to audiblekids.com/Pottercast for your free audiobook.
And now it's time for Canon Conundrums. Listen in as our panel tries to figure out one specific issue from the Harry Potter canon.
Who could possibly figure that out?
It's time!
Now do the other voice, the Baltimore voice.
The what?
The Baltimore voice.
Baltimore voice?
John Travolta.
Oh.
Welcome to Canon Conundrums.
That's Kermit, though.
Welcome to Canon Conundrums. Canon Conundrum. Kermit the Frog here.
Aww.
Oh, what? You're like a...
conundrums. Mickey Mouse.
Mickey.
That was good. Hi, Mickey. We have a special guest.
We have a special guest.
I didn't know that we had hired an impersonator here.
Well, because we have a special guest on Canon Conundrums this week, Mickey Mouse. Mickey, how are you doing? Come in from Anaheim?
I'm doing good. Just got off work.
Welcome, Mickey.
But I don't really like Harry Potter.
There is a picture. We went to Disneyland a week or so ago, and we waited in line to see Mickey. And it was Bree, Rita, and I. Frankie wasn't around that evening, but we asked Mickey flat out, "Do you like Harry Potter?" And he just kind of looks at us and lifts his hand up and kind of shakes it like,
"Ew!" Terrible.
And we have a picture of him doing it, and it's hilarious. It's on Facebook.
As John pimps out his Facebook profile.
Yes.
Yeah. Well, okay.
We will talk in the wrap up about who currently owns us and what.
Canon Conundrums. What house would Mickey Mouse?
Oh,
in?
He's totally a Hufflepuff.
Mickey Mouse.
He's a Hufflepuff.
He's a Gryffindor.
No.
Mickey Mouse
is a Hufflepuff.
He
I
is.
Think. Mickey Mouse is a hard
he
worker.
He is. He's hard worker and he's a chipper fellow. He's a puff if there ever
look
was.
Look at him and like him and like Fantasia and everything. I mean, he's brave. He's a fighter. He could.
Yeah, but most of all,
world.
He's the guy that's working hard.
Well, Mickey, what house do you think he'd be in?
Oh, Walt Disney. What do you think Walt Disney would be in?
Well, I'd be a Hufflepuff.
Thank you, Mickey! Yay! Hooray!
I love Hufflepuff! Squeeze!
Squeeze! You're welcome!
Because okay. What Harry Potter character are we talking about tonight?
Oh.
Cornelius
Another.
Oh, don't everybody be so excited.
Somebody who's green. He's not like Kermit the Frog, but he wears a green bowler. His name is Cornelius Fudge.
Cornelius Fudge. Okay,
Okay, quick. Can we go around real quick and just give one word what house we all think?
Okay,
just immediately,
sure.
And then we'll discuss.
No problem.
Okay, you go first, Melissa.
Oh, man.
Okay, I'll go first because I already have one. I think he's Hufflepuff.
I'm going to say Ravenclaw.
I'm going to say Slytherin.
I'd actually think he's a Slytherin, too.
You know, I was going to... like,
all
I'm like
politicians
almost
are Slytherins.
With Slytherin, but I just think it's like...
All politicians are Slytherins.
No, they're not.
Exactly.
I think Rufus Grimmjow is Ravenclaw. I mean, Gryffindor.
A Gryffindor. I think Gryffindor.
Yeah, I did too.
Nonsense.
I love that nobody says Gryffindor because he's so...
He's not
Gryffindor. He's not brave.
There's no way in heck he's a Gryffindor.
Mm-hmm. You know,
But he's a politician. I mean, I don't know. I could go either Ravenclaw or Slytherin. I know that a lot of people probably... I mean, if you put a poll, it would probably come out Slytherin.
Yeah.
Why Slytherin? I don't see it.
Because he's out for himself.
I guess for the ambition.
Yeah, ambition and self-preservation. And he works, you know, today's standards, he would be working them poles, you know. I mean, he is a master glad handler. He is just, you know.
Oh, why did I just get a really inappropriate mental image when you said he's working
because
the poles?
Because you're John
Nolly,
okay?
I, as soon as I said that, I knew that was a bad choice of words. But okay. I don't know.
I don't know if they have those kind of clubs in the Wizarding World.
Did you ever see that movie Wag the Dog, you know, which they kind of make fun of a beloved president a bit? I just think that Fudge is like, he is all about the photo ops. And, you know, I like how they had in the flashback scenes or the kind of the newspaper montages in Order of the Phoenix. And they showed him like the little wizarding press corps following him about. And like you see Percy trailing after him and stuff. I just think Fudge is just... He shows up for those photo ops. I don't know. I just think that he likes...
Hmm. Yeah, for sure.
See, I don't think he doesn't have the edge that a Slytherin has.
Mm-hmm.
Like, you know what I mean? Like, mm-hmm. A Slytherin or a Ravenclaw, in my opinion, would have, like, saw the... I think he's... I don't know. He doesn't have any foresight. Like Hufflepuff, loyal to like what he thought, and he was
loyal and fair.
Not he was being fair in his skewed opinion, like fair, because he didn't want to upset, you know, his voters. Like he was one of those things. It's like I don't know. Maybe I'm very like I'm up in the air with this, but I just my first impression was Hufflepuff. I guess I don't really have many valid reasons for it, so I shouldn't be...
I mean, here's the question now for me, and maybe this convinces me out of Ravenclaw. You have the most brilliant wizard in the world telling you, swearing to you, begging to you, showing you evidence, showing you proof that Voldemort is back. And you ignore it so that you don't rock your own self. Yeah, I'm back on Slytherin.
Yeah.
That's
he
a huge Slytherin quality. You put the whole wizarding world in danger... You know, just so you could try to save face and try to, you know, good lord.
Yeah.
It's huge.
To get what he wanted, which was peace. He wanted peace, and he wanted to stay in power at any cost, even if it was not good for people.
I don't think he wanted peace for peace sakes. Probably peace
because
it's easier to be ruling
in
peace times, and it's, you know, you have a higher approval rating and everything. And
it'll keep him in power.
Exactly.
See, but in my head, it's kind of like he would have, to stay in power, once he realized, you know, I guess it's, he just realized it too late at the end.
Yeah.
Mm.
See, because, like, you know, you're...
I'm up in the air. I just don't know why I think he's Ravenclaw. I mean, Hufflepuff.
Well, but, you know, because...
I'm off Ravenclaw because of the not believing Dumbledore thing.
I was going to say, there's points, so that you could see, you could justify Ravenclaw in the sense that he had to be very smart to understand. He had to be very shrewd to be a politician. I believe this. But that takes a certain amount of intelligence, and so he could be Ravenclaw. And I think that Hufflepuff, too, you kind of instinct that he's trying to think of the betterment good or what's good for his constituency. You might think of just going with the flow and not causing trouble, and from that sense, I understand it. Because, like, in my mind, Ernie McMillan is going to be a great prime minister one day, and he's a Hufflepuff, and I just think he's going to go on. But so I can see where you could see that, Frankie. I don't know. But I just think he's just too icky about it, and he's just
because I guess in my head I never thought he was lying. I honestly believe that he didn't think Voldemort was back. It wasn't the fact that he was like, oh, I need to ignore this to stay in power.
Really?
In his head, he was like, it's impossible. Voldemort's not back. He can't. He's dead. He's been dead for, like, I got that impression from him. And then when he realized, he's like, oh, crap. And then look what he did, like, in the beginning of book six. You know, he willingly stayed on to, and more than willing to help out Scrimgeour.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And, like, a lot of people, if they got voted out, like, in a coup like that, within 2 weeks and got fired from their post as minister, being one of the most powerful wizards in their government, they wouldn't have, their ego would get in the way. I would imagine, like, a Slytherin's ego would get in the way.
I don't know that it's so much an ego thing. I mean, I think that's a common decency thing. You don't leave him swimming when there's a war going on.
That's true. Yeah, because it is.
Yeah.
Like, he's not evil. Right. I don't think anybody ever thought he was evil.
I'm trying to figure out why I was so dead set of him being a Hufflepuff, and I guess there's not a good enough reason to stick with it.
Yeah.
It's just my first impression.
Yeah, I agree with Melissa. He's not evil. I mean, I don't think he's maliciously, out to harm people. I just think he was in denial with Voldemort, and I just think he was just, like, so afraid that this is just so implausible, that his worst fears were becoming true, that he just chose to deliberately ignore that, and, in fact, to some extent, lie about it, you know? And so, and that was his fear and his self-preservation. Like, oh, if I tell these people the truth when I realize these facts, I'm out of office, you know? So that's why I think he's...
Yeah. John?
I'm still pushing hard on Slytherin here.
Are we 3 out of 4 here, or are we all agreed now, or what?
I guess I would agree by default, because I don't have a good enough reason to say Hufflepuff, but I still think Hufflepuff. But that's just me being stubborn.
You can just picture him in the little Hufflepuff common room.
Yeah.
Hanging out.
And honestly, I don't know why, so I guess I should just, shut up.
Maybe we all just keep thinking of him in the green bowler hat and think that means he's Slytherin. And it's just kind of stuck in our head. Or maybe that was J.K. Rowling's.
Every time in my head, how goofy I am. When I was reading these books, the first time I read about Fudge, did you ever see Wizard of Oz? You know, the man behind the mask, little guy? I just imagine him as that. I don't know why.
For some reason, you were right.
No.
You're totally right.
I'm such a dork. I see these things, but I don't know. And we're off to see Fudge. Hi-ho. Oh, no.
Okay.
Ignore the man behind the curtain.
Alright, are we set, guys? Are we ready to...
I think Fudge is a Hufflepuff. The computer thinks that, too.
Wow, two votes in your camp.
I'll get Mickey back over here real quick. Mickey, come here.
I like that we're...
He's Hufflepuff. Oh, no!
Oh, wow, yeah. He laughs at everything.
I like that we're doing all these sortings, because next time Joe comes, we can just go down a list.
We totally should.
Yeah.
Sorry, this really got me excited right now.
Hey, this will be fun. Frankie, you'll be around to talk to Joe.
Yeah, you can have Mickey talk to her. Mickey,
don't
Don't be nervous.
That'd be awesome if I got to, but I...
You just got nervous. I just heard it happen. Yeah. Wow, that was weird.
I got quiet.
0 to nervous in 0.2 seconds. Okay.
Yeah. Okay.
All right. Alrighty, people. Onto the drums.
Onto the slap
five.
The drums.
Drums, Scrooby 5, whatever. We never know what order it's going to end up in.
Please report to Scrooby 5. Then onto the drums.
Hey everyone, welcome to Scrooby 5, the 5-minute podcast of the Leaky Cauldron's premier essay project, Scroobulous. I am Beth, or Looney Love on the forums, and with me today we have Aaron, or Calpheus.
Hello.
And also, we have a very special guest.
That's right, Beth. He's a world-renowned dracologist and fought alongside Harry Potter and crew at the Battle of Hogwarts. We are very pleased to welcome Charlie Weasley to the show.
Thanks for having me on, ladies.
Welcome to Scrooby 5, Charlie. We're so glad you could make it on the show today.
Oh, well, thank you, Beth. I'm very pleased to be here.
Charlie, we invited you on the show because in Scroobulous this month, we have a fantastic interview you did with Esmeralda Marchbank.
Yeah, and Esmeralda was great. That interview was a lot of fun.
It sounded like it. After we read it, we decided that we had a few follow-up questions we wanted to ask. First of all, you mentioned that you once considered a career as a professional Quidditch player. You made it clear that you obviously prefer dracology, but were you ever jealous of your sister's later success as a member of the Hollyhead Harpies?
Well, to begin with, I was a little shocked that she wanted to play at all, Aaron. I always knew Ginny was good, but I had no idea she wanted to be a professional. I had no doubt in my mind about her abilities, and as long as it's what she wanted, I was really excited for her. It never even crossed my mind to be jealous.
Charlie, that's so sweet.
Thanks, but I'll admit, any time that green-eyed monster tried to rear its ugly head, the free Quidditch tickets did help a lot.
I can imagine that would help. Now, you also told Esmeralda that you've had some run-ins with vampires during your travels, and I think that's very interesting. Seeing as many of us here at Scroobulous are avid Twilight fans, we were wondering if,
Let me cut you off right there. I don't know how many times I've been asked about this. It all started with that interview with a vampire nonsense, and now Twilight has only made it worse. Vampires are not nice people. They're interesting enough to talk to, maybe, and all that immortality business sort of gives them a long time to learn some new tricks. They're really nothing to write home about. Plus, they're really, really dangerous. The wizards have a few tricks of how to keep us safe, but you muggers are really at risk.
Oh. Well, I guess I like werewolves better anyway.
That's the spirit.
Now, Charlie, I want to know about the Draco Marsupialia. Did I pronounce that right?
Yeah, that's correct.
For those of you that don't know, the Draco Marsupialia is a breed of dragon that was previously believed to exist only in stories, but one of your friends actually found the fossilized remains of one, right, Charlie?
Yeah, I'm so glad you brought that up. After my interview, I actually headed down to Australia to see the remains myself, and they're magnificent. I've never seen anything like them. We've been working pretty hard to see if we can find any information about their habitats or living style, but if we're lucky, we might actually be able to find a living one. A really exciting time to be a dracologist.
Oh, well, as if working with dragons could ever be boring.
Well, I suppose that's a good point.
You also made the comment that if you were to find a living Draco Marsupialia, you would name it after everyone's favorite gamekeeper, Rubius Hagrid. The interview has been in print for almost a week now, so what did Hagrid say when he read that?
I got an owl from him about 30 minutes after Scribblers published the interview. The note was still sopping wet, and I could only make out a couple of words like honored and lifelong dream, so I'm guessing he was probably quite pleased.
And who could blame him? Well, that about does it for Scrooby 5 today. You can read the entirety of Esmeralda's interview with Charlie in this month's Scroobulous.
That's right, Beth. You'll get to find out a lot more about his career, his family, and even his love life.
Ooh!
Charlie, do you want to close out the segment for us?
Sure, Aaron, why not? Thanks for listening to Scrooby 5, everybody, and be sure to go to www.scroobulous.com to read my interview and all the other great essays. Thanks again for having me on, ladies.
Anytime, Charlie. Bye, everyone.
Bye, everyone.
Bye.
And John's ready to leave, so hooray.
Oh, boy. It's the drums.
Apparently, the drums were too long last week, so these are very short drums.
The drums are my favorite time to talk. I will talk like this during the drums.
Oh, God.
Make you laugh.
All right, well... First things first,
Can you do Miss Piggy?
Oh, Kermie! I don't know. That one I have to probably try, and I'm a little embarrassed to try it when it's recording.
I want
to
start a weekly friends challenge with you in the drums.
I would be all about that, because I'm pretty good at it.
Cracked friends... something with an F. Cracked friends...
Cracks...
How did Rachel lose her job at Ralph Lauren?
Wait, at Ralph Lauren, or Bloomingdale's?
At Ralph Lauren.
Which one?
Ralph Lauren.
She had an interview for the other job, and she's meeting with the guy, and she's sitting behind her boss.
What was the other job? What company?
It was for... it's in Paris.
No, it wasn't in Paris. That was the other job.
Yes, it was.
That was Louis Vuitton.
The job in Paris.
That was Louis Vuitton. This was something else.
No, same job, I think.
No, it wasn't.
Which job is it then?
It was for Gucci.
You serious?
Yeah, they had an interview for Gucci. Didn't get that job. Lost the job.
Oh,
that's
snap.
Data interviewed her.
That was Data?
Data interviewed her.
I did not know that. I didn't recognize him.
Okay, play Data and start.
Face paint.
Yeah, yeah. If it was Gucci, I haven't watched season 10 in a while, so you got me. You can't put this on the air after I just said, challenging me every week. And
That episode was just on the plane on my way to New York, so that's why I knew it.
Okay.
Oh.
Oh, that's right, because she gets the job at Louis Vuitton through Mark when she bumps into him as she exits the building with her stuff, because she bumps into Mark.
There you go.
And Mark's married now and has twins, and Ross is like, who's that? And Mark's like, oh, yeah, I hate that guy. That's why they broke up in season 3. Okay, it's all coming back. I just haven't watched season 10 in like a year or two, so I'm a little rusty.
Oh, my gosh.
Sorry.
Wow, Frax.
This is really interesting talk, by the way, so I apologize.
All right, John, you have an update for us? No, not that. Not that. The acting.
The acting troupe, we have over 100 responses. We are going to come through them more. I tried to do it today, and it was just way too much. So we're going to do that. And we may have a separate episode just for this first round, or we may just do it a couple spots at a time, next couple shows. We'll see. Once we have them all together, which will happen within the next few days. So hang tight. The script is still coming along awesome. Probably have the script, the outline of it, probably about done by the time we have a cast. But we'll still be able to make changes and make when we have the polls on podcast.com to influence the story. We'll be able to do all that fun stuff too, which will be awesome. What else? Other updates?
I just want to say, like 4 months from now, we'll be at Terminus. So if you have not yet...
I think the American Idol setup would be fun little...
Oh, I don't think I even have that yet.
I know. But I just want to say the tickets are going fast for our friend, Ms. Cheryl Klein, and to more friends, and you better get the let out, my friend.
Well, John, I don't know if she's going to let you in to begin with, so.
Oh, no, Cheryl. No, we're best buddies. I can say that because I'm the king of the world, so I can talk about being friends with Cheryl. Wow.
So who owns us now?
Who owns us? Very good question. I am owned by the lovely, lovely Sarah Arant.
Who keeps buying a lot of us.
Yes, she was doing well. However, she only owns me at this present time.
Yes, that's very true.
If she owned any of you other people, she doesn't at the moment, because Mr. Frankie,
it's a quiet drum.
Franco... Currently owned by who?
I am owned by the same person.
Emily Ward.
And we realize it's a very difficult challenge, guys. We are very expensive.
We are very expensive.
But that's the point. It's a challenge. And so...
on the horrible let me buy you Facebook thing.
Because we are the royalty of the world, you know?
We are so...
So you can't expect not to pay a heavy price. So
that is the point.
When
you see what the prize is going to be,
and once this is so horrible, I'm totally kidding. But once you, anyway, you will get a prize. Whoever owns most of us at whatever point.
When you see what the prize is going to be, you'll know it.
It's
so
bad.
A signed photograph.
Same.
Of Colonel Pilkington.
John. No.
Oh. On the no.
It's terrible.
Ricky Gervais though. Their prizes would always be a signed picture of Carl Pilkington.
and everybody went nuts over it because he is the funniest guy ever to be in a podcast ever, out of every podcast in the world.
I don't even know what you're talking about.
I have...
Sorry. At least I'm being honest.
Those podcasts were really funny. Kind of adult. FYI.
I have listened to every episode of that show at least a dozen times. I could recite it word for word.
You love The Office, Frankie, and he's the original...
Wait, he played whose character?
Guy, he had Steve Carell's part, and the British person of The Office.
Ricky Gervais? No way.
Gervais? He's so funny.
He plays Steve Carell's part in the original Office.
Oh, I know him. I didn't know his name. He's hilarious.
Yeah. Yeah. He had a podcast.
Very, very funny.
For John and like, 3 seasons or so.
Whoa.
Doing podcasts in season by just saying. Yeah.
Yeah, everybody thought it was going to start this big trend. And then it was like, no.
Definitely not, no. It costs money, too. It's like the only podcast, one of the only podcasts that you have to buy.
If you do. Well, his shows were so funny. I mean, that man is very... I enjoy him. His wit is very... just really sharp.
All right, so I want to...
Wait, we don't know who owns who. Or Melissa.
Oh, who owns me? Alejandro owns me.
Alejandro?
Alejandro.
Who owns you, Susie?
He owns me.
You told me Myra?
Oh, Myra Overby? Or something?
Oberg or something? I believe she's from... I think Norway or Sweden or somewhere. I forget. I'm sorry. I forget. Please do not kill me. I don't know. I don't.
Please,
this whole thing feels
to kill you.
I know, but I just feel terrible about this whole thing. It makes me cringe, and then I don't know when.
Myra Oberg.
Thank you, Myra.
Who is not very creative in making nicknames because your nickname is Sue.
He didn't change it then.
Oh.
Well, I mean,
that's funny.
Da-da-da-da-da.
I'm Sue.
Somebody gave you a ninja.
A ninja squee?
A ninja?
It's a ninja squee. Hi, squee!
It costs $3,000. It probably does.
Someone gave me a diadem.
Hey.
Oh, jeez.
All right, okay. We're running long again.
Well, I'm excited, guys. I want to tell you, I've talked about it a couple times here, but I have just, once again, restarted, kind of, my old sitting it in thing. I don't know if you guys remember. But I had a podcast called Fitting It In where I was doing like health goals and stuff, and I just hadn't had time to do it, and it was a whole thing, and I was really
You haven't had time to fit it in?
I have not. It's kind of like, that's the ultimate... No, it's true. It's the ultimate irony is that it's called Fitting It In, and I couldn't fit it in. But, Wompy from the Whomping Willows. Wompy from the Whomping Willows. Yeah. Matt from the Whomping Willows started, totally randomly told me one day, he said, hey, I'm going to do this thing for the Harry Potter Alliance. About weight loss, I'm going to call it Wompy's Weight Loss Challenge, and I'm going to do videos, and I'm going to work with a trainer. I was like, oh my god, that's fitting it in, but just videos. And he made me realize how much easier it is to do a video, and so I said, hey, let's do this together, I'll do it with you. So we're both posting videos using the Harry Potter Alliance's like goals of change and positivity to help people get their health goals. And so we're posting weekly videos on thehpalliance.org, fittingitin.com. We have a YouTube channel at thehpalliance. So check it out and take the ride with us because it's fun.
I want to do it.
It's scary. It's scary. But no, you do it and you post a response and we're going to like be, it's going to be great. We're going to post everybody's response.
What do we do videos of?
Yourself and what you're doing and how
like,
your reactions are.
Can I take a video of myself eating healthy food?
Yes. John, while you're here this week, we're gonna video making healthy food.
You should do a little video of cooking healthy. That'd be fun, like cooking healthy with John Newey.
I could. I'm also just interested in just setting up the camera on the table and just pointing it at me while I eat for like 5 minutes.
I'm not sure for what, and I'm afraid to ask for what, but
that would help people with their cravings.
Oh no, that's terrible.
I'm being sarcastic.
You're gonna lose their appetites watching me eat? I'm not that big of a pig.
No, I was just being like, I don't know. I could not be hungry and I see a commercial about food and I want to go eat. I hate it. I'm like, stupid commercials, food.
No, but what's gonna be great about this is that I'm gonna get the forums going again on fittingitin.com so that all the fitties can get back together and keep inspiring each other. And video is so great because as we start to all see our results together, we'll be videoing it and we'll have a record. What we look like, and
cool.
It's really exciting.
That's awesome.
That's cool.
I don't know if any of you have watched The Biggest Loser. You guys watch The Biggest Loser?
Mm-hmm. My mother is hooked on that show.
Well, it's like really disgusting how fast they lose weight, and it's probably really unhealthy how fast they lose weight, because all they do is work out. That's what they live to while they're there. However, they give you a lot of great tips and stuff, and so it's not all bad. And it's really moving. So we'll do a little Harry Potter version.
There you go. Check it out. It's on NBC at some point. It's
no, John.
Good show. What?
John, the HP Alliance, YouTube. YouTube.com.
No, the Biggest Loser is on NBC.
Oh, the Biggest Loser. Well, yeah.
Like, they need our promotion.
Well,
that's it. LOL. We're promoting a network television show. Okay. I have to pee.
Thanks. Thank you for sharing that.
You're welcome.
You're welcome.
Is that it for all of us until the next time we start twiddling those dials? Or no? What do you got, Sue?
Next week's password will be fitting it in.
Thank you, Sue.
Woo!
Keep each other safe.
Keep the faith.
Keep faith.
Sorry.
Keep faith.
Keep faith.
Robot man, come
outtake.
On.
There it is.
Good night.
Night.
We missed it.
Dobby is free.
I confess myself disappointed.
Now, if you don't mind, I'm going to bed.
Great Scott, no wonder. Look at the time. We've been here nearly 4 hours. Spooky how the time flies when one's having fun.
This week's podcast was produced by the Podcast Trio and Steve Bonnet. Thanks to our Scribby 5 team, Aaron and Nina, and thanks, as always, to our awesome transcription elves for transcribing this and all our other episodes on podcast.com. For more information about the show and how to contact us and be a part of future episodes, visit podcast.com.